You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I am Allison Trigger from MLB.com, and I am here to talk about the Homer Happy Padres with Corey Brock. Homer Happy being that the Padres are not happy because they were the ones allowing the home runs. So, Corey, what's going on? I mean, I feel like a broken record. I realize that this is what we say every week. The Padres have always had very strong pitching, and that was not going to be the issue, and everything was going to be great. And my goodness, they're allowing a lot of home runs, and it sounds like Betty Black is not real happy about this. What's going on?
Yeah, I thought this was supposed to be the Padres' new offense hitting all these home runs, Allison. I guess they got the blueprint kind of mixed up. But, yeah, it's been a rough start for these guys. You know, their pitchers have pitched – you know, especially the starters have pitched pretty well for the most part. But as a staff, though, starters and relievers have given up an alarming amount of home runs. Gave up six against the Mariners in the first game of their series in Seattle, and that put them on top of the league lead, the first place that you don't want to have with the most home runs allowed in baseball. And, you know, I think there's probably a few factors here in place. And, but most of it sort of rests on the shoulder of the pitching staff in terms of not executing pitches, too many pitches elevated, falling into some bad counts. A lot of things sort of contribute to this. The good news is, though, that, you know, they feel like they have the right guys. You know, they have the right guys in the rotation, the right guys in the bullpen, and that they're just kind of weathering a tough storm right now and that things will even out eventually, because these guys, you know, past performances have shown that, you know, these guys have pretty good stuff. You know, they do lead the big leagues in strikeouts as a staff. They got a lot of swing and miss guys. The bullpen has traditionally been pretty good. It's been rough so far, but, you know, I just think they're kind of going through a tough stretch right now. And, you know, I'm sure that's something pitching coach Darren Balsley and Buddy Black, the manager, are going to, you know, have some talks with and try and get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, it is just kind of a head-scratcher for many reasons. One just being, I realize that the Petco Park does play a lot more fair than it has in the past. They've made some adjustments. But it's still not, a terribly easy place to hit a home run. And when you say that they lead the league in home runs allowed, we have to put the numbers to it. As of this taping, they've allowed 50 home runs, the most in the majors, just one ahead of the Milwaukee Brewers, which is... That's just something you don't want to have happen if you're a team that's not the Brewers. And starting pitchers have allowed 34. The relief pitchers have allowed 16. That being halfway to the entire total that the relief pitchers gave up in 2014. So, yeah, if things are going to even out, it's going to have to start pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, again, with the you mentioned the Brewers there, and, you know, certainly a team that's had all sorts of problems and don't, you know, appear to be heading in the wrong direction there, whereas, you know, they're probably trying to figure out some answers with their pitching staff if they have the right guys. And like I said, the Padres feel like they have the right guys. You know, you're talking about James Shields, Andrew Cashner, and Tyson Ross at the top of that rotation. Certainly maybe not the best staff in the National League in terms of top three guys, but right up there. And, you know, guys who have missed a lot of bats in the past, and track records that show that they've been very successful pitchers. You know, you just have to think that things will normalize here at some point. But that being said, in order to do so, they have to pitch better. You know, you can't elevate as many balls in the strike zone because hitters will take advantage of that. You got to get ahead of guys. You know, strike one, that's always the most important pitch, you know, as pitching coaches will tell you. You know, getting ahead of guys and then working from there and being able to use some more pitches and maybe expand the strike zone on some of these hitters instead of having them just, you know, sitting and waiting for, you know, 2-0 fastballs or 3-1 fastballs.
Now, Andrew Cashner has been, I guess we can call him the hard luck loser. We don't want to say loser, he's not a loser, but he's not had a lot of wins. And, of course, all of the modern age people that are occupying these front offices, they don't care about wins and losses. When it comes to pitchers, but at the same time, it is pretty amazing that he's not won more games, given he's got a pretty good ERA.
Yeah, he's pitched well. I'd like to consider him to be the best six-loss pitcher in the universe, Allison. He been a victim of poor run support, and really, a victim of poor defense and starts that he's made. It's kind of alarming that he's allowed 10 unearned runs so far this year. The guy that's made fewer than, you know, well, I don't know where he's at, about eight or nine, well, about eight starts, maybe seven or eight starts. That's a lot of unearned runs. So the Padres' defense, not real crisp behind him, but, you know, by and large, you know, he's kept the team in games. The earned run average is good, which is a number we should be looking at here. Strikeouts, innings pitched. He's done a much better job since that first start in L.A. in April. We gave up three home runs to Adrian Gonzalez. Done a better job with his slider and keeping the ball in the ballpark. So those six losses don't look very good, but it's by no means an indication of how well he's pitched.
You know, I say that that front offices and the analysts and people that are paying attention, that they don't care about wins and losses. I think I've talked to you about this before, but let's talk about it again. Do pitchers care about wins and losses? I mean, is it still something on them? Does it, you know, and just in your observations, your opinion, should they care if they're 2-6 or 1-6 or 7-3? Does that take any kind of mental toll on these guys when they don't have the wins?
You know, I suppose if it kind of keeps happening time after time, it could kind of weigh on you a little bit as a pitcher. But I think, you know, if it does bother them, they would never say it. You know, the guys would never, you know, in terms of, you know, we've had this a lot in the past with the Padres before they, you know, beefed up their offense where, you know, a lot of pitchers throwing very well and not getting any run support. And they never pin it on the offense. You know, they always kind of say, hey, this is something I could have done better. When in fact, you know that if the team had scored two runs for the guy, the results would have been vastly different. But, you know, if it bothers them, they keep it inside. I think ultimately the only win-loss record that matters to all of these guys is whether the team wins or loses the game and not whether they're the pitcher of record one way or the other. I think it's just, you know, doing their job, limiting the opponents, limiting the damage, and just sort of, you know, they always say it, and it's kind of a cliche, but I think it's really true, just kind of doing their part to put their team in position to win. And I think if they do that, then they could walk away from a start, you know, feeling pretty good that they've done their job. They've done everything within their power to accomplish that. So I think these guys are pretty pragmatic and they're proud guys too. You know, I'm sure they don't like seeing those losses pile up, but I think they understand there's sort of a greater good at stake here. And a lot of them are really good about that.
Yeah. Well, my prediction before the season started was that Matt Kemp was going to have a monster year, having been traded to a team in his division and a team in the division that he played in with the Dodgers, of course, and then that he was going to have this little chip on his shoulder and that he was just going to go off with a vengeance. It hasn't quite happened yet. He's got respectable numbers, but, you know, the power doesn't seem to be coming. So he's only has one home run. What do you think of Matt Kemp? And, you know, just like in the short term, maybe in the long term, you know, how is he fitting into the team?
Yeah, you know, I think he's fitting in really well. And I know they impressed upon him in spring training to be a leader with this group. And he sort of embraced that role and was very good in the clubhouse and still is, I think, you know, and, you know, had a very good April. If you look at the numbers other than the home runs, in terms of batting average, on base percentage, and driving in runs, you know, there's some doubles in there. I think he did a pretty good job in terms of doing everything that they wanted him to do, other than, you know, maybe you would expect a little bit more power. I still think we're going to see some more of that as we work a little bit deeper into the season. You know, certainly playing a lot of games at some of these big ballparks probably doesn't help a whole lot. I mean, it hasn't hurt Justin Upton by any means, but I think he's kind of a different beast at this point. But I think, you know, Kemp's been pretty good. You know, he played a lot of games, Allison, in April, and they gave him a break here last week, and he was scuffling a little bit at the plate, and, you know, maybe just a little bit of fatigue had set in there. They gave him a Sunday off against the Diamondbacks, and then the team had Monday off. So, you know, just like anything else, you know, they probably have to be a little bit mindful of when he gets some rest. But here's the other thing. The guy wants to play every day. And, you know, I really get the sense from Buddy Black that if he's not in that lineup, he's probably knocking on that manager's door asking why. You know, and he doesn't back off against these, you know, these perceived stud pitchers, these ace pitchers. He wants to be in there every day. So I think that's a good sign. And, you know, I still think there's a very good ball player in there And we've seen certainly seen a lot of glimpses of that. So, you know, I have to think he's going to be better moving forward into the season.
And let's end this on just kind of going over maybe some injury issues. So Will Myers seems to be, I guess, day-to-day with the sore left wrist. That could be a little bit detrimental if they're looking for some offense just because he is leading the team with hits and runs scored at this point. So what is the update on him?
Yeah, he I wouldn't say it's an injury, but maybe kind of tweaked the wrist Sunday in Arizona when he was sliding, kind of used the left hand to plant on the ground, I guess. And he was hoping with the off day on Monday that it would kind of go away. He went through batting practice yesterday, and it was still bothering him. So he kind of, you know, smartly kind of pulled himself out of that batting practice round, and they scratched him. But, you know, we talked to him after the game, and he was moving the wrist around. He said it really only bothers him on the, you know, he's a right-handed hitter on his backswing. You know, and the follow-through on his swing. So he didn't seem too alarmed by it. You know, that's a guy that's had wrist issues in the past. He had the fractured right wrist last season, but he also jammed his left wrist early in the year. You know, that took a little while to heal. This doesn't seem nearly as serious as that. We'll get more of an update later. But, yeah, this is a guy you don't want out of the lineup for a lot of reasons. I mean, he's been a real bright spot at the top of the order and, you know, in terms of getting on base, even driving in runs, scoring a lot of runs, certainly with the guys behind him doing a very good job. But he's been good. You know, he's been playing a lot of first base with Yonder Alonso out, and this is certainly a very important piece to the puzzle moving forward. And, you know, the wrists are sort of a delicate thing, but I truly didn't get the sense from him that this was going to be anything that would linger too long.
Well, that is good news. Okay. Well, thanks, Corey, very much, and we'll speak with you next week.
It sounds good, Allison. Thank you.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.